Mormon Discussions and its lineup of great podcasts is about helping Latter-day Saints like you tackle deeper, complex issues within Mormonism.
All financial support goes directly towards keeping these podcasts alive and supporting listeners like you.
To support the programs on this podcast, please consider becoming a premium subscriber
or making a donation at mormondiscussions.org. Again, that's Mormon Discussions, plural with an S on the end, .org.
Donate today and support programs like Mormon Discussion, Radio Free Mormon, Mormon Awakenings, The Mormon Wellness Project,
Mormon History Podcast,
Marriage on a Tightrope, and others.
If these programs benefit you
and you want to see these continue, please consider making an annual donation starting today.
All donations are tax exempt inside the United States and go towards keeping the podcast alive.
Mormon Discussions and its lineup of great programs
helping you navigate Mormonism one episode at a time. And now, on to what you've been waiting to hear.
Your parents well, their children's hell will slowly go by and feed.
Welcome to the Mormon Wellness Project.
Among your dreams,
this is Wendy Perry.
The one they think,
and today's topic is the most important thing you'll ever teach your kids.
Don't you ever ask them why? If they told you, you would cry. So just look at them and sigh and know they love you.
Do you ever look back on an interaction with your child or grandchild and realize, I really missed the boat? This happened to me the other day. Looking back on it, I decided to write out my thoughts, and it turned into a podcast. I thought it was worth sharing. And I know a lot of us deal with parenting issues all the time. And the reason I care so much about kids, it's not because they're kids. It's because they're going to grow up and be adults in this world. I mean, don't get me wrong, I like kids, but you know what I mean. So here's what I wrote. What is special? We tell kids all the time how special they are. But are they? Well, that depends. Because special means mainly two things. It means special as in unique or different from the rest. But it also means special, as in exceptional, or better than. I'm not sure kids get that distinction. It's one thing to tell them that they are unique and different from every single other person who has ever lived on the earth. But I hope we also help them to know that they aren't better than or more exceptional than anyone else. And if you think they are, I have to clue you in. They aren't. Oh, that doesn't mean they aren't special to you. Little Sophie is the only very mediocre piccolo player you've ever had in your family, and that is unique and a cherished thing to you, and maybe even a few other people in your circle. And I get it. When I watch my grandkids dance or play a sport or instrument, I turn into the Music Man parent immediately. That's my little Johnny. Did you hear that? He played one note correctly. It's so easy to be convinced as a parent, and even more as a grandparent, that these kids are the most gorgeous, smart, talented humans ever born. Well, in my case, it's true, but not yours. You see, if everyone is special, then no one's special. It just can't work out. So that means if my kids are super special, then somebody else's kids have to go down a notch. And sorry, it ain't going to be my grandkids. Okay, I'll give you my kids. Looking back, they were just a little more than average. But these grandkids are phenomenal. Boy, am I proving my point. Okay, I've got to get serious now. I think you guys get this. Now what to do about it? Because there are consequences to not teaching children how very non-special they are. And in this sense, the sun shines on everyone, but the rain falls on everyone too. There are going to be difficult and often painful times ahead for them. And from where I sit, I don't think they, or maybe even most of us, know exactly what to do with pain. So, as they say in England, let's sort it. If you don't remember anything else from this podcast, I want you to remember this one thing and pass it on. All pain is loss. All pain is loss. And what do you do with loss? You have to grieve it to leave it. I honestly just made that up. But it's true. Grieving is feeling the pain of loss, hanging out with it for a while. Any attempt to brush over loss or run from it usually doesn't work out too well. Avoiding loss and pain looks like addiction. It looks like anger. It looks like damage to our bodies, among other things. How long will it take? Well, the amount of time you and your kid will need to spend just feeling bad depends on lots of factors, like the age, maturity of the child, a person, past trauma, and even personality type. And, of course, the main thing is the event, the triggering event. The greater the loss, the greater the pain, the longer it might take to heal or even require therapeutic intervention. But most of the pain these kids go through is related to friends, belonging, and feelings of inadequacy. Remember how that was? I don't think my parents had a clue. Did your parents have a clue? Some things just need a few hugs and a pep talk, but other issues run deeper, especially as they hit those preteen years. Mostly they just don't have the skills to deal with their hurt, and most of the time, we don't know they're in it, and sometimes they don't even know they're in it. Of course, first you have to get them to tell you what's bothering them. And preteens and some teens are masters of two things, snarkiness and sulkiness. That's not silkiness, that's sulkiness. For my family, the trigger was someone not making a level at something in school. The pain was coming out as rudeness and anger. Anger at life itself. Well, talking to her about all her other achievements, how special and talented she is, not going to help. Doesn't help using logic about taking the long view and how she could just work harder and an upper game at the middle of the semester. Not going to help, and it didn't help. By the way, did you know that after all the millions of dollars, hours, and brain power put to the task of figuring out what makes therapy work, it turns out it's not the philosophical approach or modality. Those things aren't what makes a difference. It's just the healing presence of another person who helps the patient hold the pain and losses associated with trauma. Anyway, usually the best way to get kids to talk about what's bothering them is to play the all-annoying guessing game. So I'd say, "You seem sad. What happened? Did someone say something to hurt your feelings? Did you do bad on a test?" Kids hate this, right? Usually two options is just perfect. And this usually will trigger anger. And they'll blurt out, "You don't know anything, Mom. That's not the problem, Mom." Right? And if you're lucky, on a good day, they will spill the beans. So now's your chance. Now's your chance to work through the loss. But wait, the heat of battle, they aren't going to want to hear about all the stuff you just learned about processing pain and dealing with loss. They have to know this stuff ahead of time. They got to know the concepts. So sometime when things are calm and relaxed, crack out the color books, have the talk, and they'll love it because it won't be about sex. You have to have the birds and the bees talk, and now you're going to have the pain and loss talk. And here's how it goes. I broke it down into 4 steps because you know I love to number things. Number 1, explain what it means to be special. They're unique, but exceptionalism is up to them. 2, talk to them about how being grateful for all we have is not the same thing as assuming it's because we're better than others. Throw that in there. It's important. 3, emphasize that uniqueness and even exceptionalism doesn't mean they won't get rained on sometimes, because that's just life. And they'll probably go, I know. That's okay. Just keep talking. Talk about hurt and pain and how it helps to figure out what's really causing it. It's about losing something, and if they can, with your help, learn to accept pain and identify the loss associated with that, they will feel better sooner. And the hurt won't have a chance to hide out somewhere in their brain or body, just waiting to jump out at a later time. Okay, now I'm getting deep, but you guys know what I mean. I'm going to give you a role play. This is going to be an adult dad talking to a child of about 8 years old, just to give you an idea how this would go. It's going to sound corny, but you have to kind of hear this stuff. So the dad says, "Well, you know, Johnny, if I break my ankle, I'm going to be really sad, aren't I? Why do you think I'd be sad?" Now, even very young children can talk about this kind of loss very easily. They will tell you, "You'll be sad because you won't be able to walk around and do stuff." And the dad will say, like what? What would I miss?" "Well, you would miss playing basketball." "You're right. You know how much Dad loves to play basketball. And you said I would miss it. Is that the same thing as loss or losing something?" "I don't know." "Well, if you lost your favorite toy, would you miss it?" "Yeah, I'd miss it, and I would be sad." "That's right. When something is lost, we miss it, and we feel sad." "When Grandma died, you missed her, and you were sad." That's right, Johnny. That was a very big loss, wasn't it? When a person dies, we call that losing someone sometimes. Not because we don't know where they are. We know they're in heaven, but we feel like they're lost because we miss them. Does that make sense? Yeah, I missed my friend when they moved away. Yes, you did, and you were sad. And you felt sad for quite a while, didn't you? But are you still sad? No, because pain and hurt from loss always gets better. Now, the sadder or bigger the loss, person or thing, the longer it might take. But even small losses can hurt a lot. But what we're learning today is that if you can figure out what's missing, then we won't get stuck in the pain. Like glue? Exactly, like glue. We talk about our losses, and even sometimes we might write them down. It can help us wash off the glue, and then we're free to move away from it. And that's good, isn't it? Yeah, that sounds good. Here are some examples of loss equaling pain. Health problems. That's really loss of joy of activity and the things you used to be able to do. Oh, how about a breakup? That's easy, but go deeper. It's usually not just the presence or the assurance of the other person being around. It's the loss of things like security, confidence in many forms, confidence in your looks, abilities, your ability to choose partners. Maybe you didn't make the cheer squad or the football team. It's all about loss of dreams, losing closeness with friends who did make it, loss of looking cool, loss of self-identity as a cheer person or as a football person. Make these lists with your kids and go as deep as you can. And don't worry if you can't get there on one try. If you don't get to the heart of the matter, chances are they'll come back to you in a couple of days and say, "You know, Mom, when we were talking about the pain and loss and the stuff about the football team, yeah, it was all the stuff we talked about, but I've been thinking, I think the worst thing is, I think Dad maybe he won't like me as much." So it's like losing his esteem or even love or respect. Yeah, but now that I really think about it, that wouldn't happen. Not really, would it? Nope, I don't think that you not making the football team is going to change how much your dad loves you, or like you, or anything. Yeah, I know. And I've been thinking about that speech team thing anyway. And now I might go ahead and do that, so, okay. Oh, great, brownies! Well, as I write this, the smell of brownies is actually wafting through my house. And I know it's going to make the smallest dent to someone in my house who's really suffering. So I know it's not always this simple. But most of the time it is. And when it is, be grateful for it. This has been Wendy Merrill Perry and the Mormon Wellness Project. Happy parenting.
Don't you ever ask them why.
And happy trails, everyone.
If they told you, you would cry. So just look at them and sigh. And know they love you. Don't you ever ask them why. If they told you, you would cry. So just look at them and sigh. And know they love you.
Many times patients in my office ask the question, "Am I crazy, Doc?" In response, I may get down my 3-inch thick diagnostic manual, the Bible for shrinks. Then I muse over it, turning over the pages slowly until I stop on a random page. "Oh, here's me," I say. Next page. "Aha, here's my Uncle Frank." Then I look at the patient. "You know, Bob, chances are your symptoms are going to be listed somewhere in this book." I have the book demonstrating its weight, and almost everyone I know is in the book somewhere. But I don't really care about this book. What I care about is you, Bob. And then we move on. In the 70s, everyone who wanted to lose weight was on a fad diet. Ever hear of the banana and skim milk diet? After my first baby, I found nothing weird about eating no food every other day for 3 weeks. No, I was not nursing. But it sure sounds crazy now, doesn't it? Today, that would be considered an eating disorder. Crazy may just be the most overused word in the English language. Everything and everybody is crazy. It was crazy. He's just nuts. I heard it in my brain. I must be going crazy. Certainly the world is going nuts when over half the population has a potentially diagnosable disorder or traits. If so, then the difference between what's crazy and what's normal becomes hard to distinguish or even meaningless sometimes. How about you? Do you ever feel extremely blue in the winter? Have you ever picked at a scab until it bled? Check the lock on your door more than once? Ever feel guilty more than you should? Ever get a song stuck in your head that plays over and over? Do you ever wonder if you're crazy? Chances are, if you are alive today in modern America, you are a little nutty. And so is every other person in the movie theater, the grocery line, and the pew at church. It may be you, a friend, or a family member, but one way or another, we are all affected by mental illness. But when everyone is crazy, then maybe crazy just means human. And that's what matters to me.